Very nice sentiment. Under his wings, I shall safely abide.
Those wings will never depart. They will never, ever let you down. I enjoyed the singing of that hymn very much indeed.
Lovely to be back again here in Lurgan this morning, and thank our brother very much for the invitation and for the welcome. And I trust that throughout the day today, we're going to experience and enjoy the Lord's blessing in a very special way. Very glad to hear that you're facing up to the situation around us and having a special time of prayer this afternoon. It shows clearly our confidence in God, that God hears and God answers prayer. It's very nice to see you folks out at the meeting this morning. I hardly knew what to expect when coming along to the meeting, but there you are. It's good to see those who have ventured out. It's very hard to hold meetings without people. And we're glad you're here. Nice to see you, and may the Lord bless you as the meeting continues. Do remember us in your prayers in these days. The cancellations of one thing and another are very confusing at the minute. I was supposed to be going to Lurgan early tonight, way down in Monaghan, to start a gospel mission there, but they have decided to cancel this thing out in the meantime because of the situation down there. I was down there all week last week, and this week was to begin another mission again in that area. But you pray much for God to undertake and to guide as to what the future might hold. I'm supposed to be starting a mission this night week down in the village of Carador. They have taken over the local community center there for a special fortnight of gospel preaching, but I don't know what's going to happen at the moment. Everything is just in a mess of confusion. However, it's all in the Lord's hands. We've got to leave it there. And I trust that you'll remember us in your prayers as we further seek to serve the Lord. Come with me in your Bible to Ephesians, please, and to chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Be on your guard and watch out for this flu virus. You see, don't be doing anything silly or foolish. I don't know whether you ever heard about paddy or not. When you're down the south of Ireland, you hear a lot about paddy. Well, I never met a foolish paddy yet in the number of years I've been going there. They're very wise men, a lot of them. But someone asked me one day, did you hear what paddy said when he got the flu? You see, somebody said, paddy, how did you get it? Well, he says, I just opened the door and influenza. Well, keep the door shut and keep it out. And I hope you all avoid it, and I hope I avoid it myself. Have a look at verse number 16 of the chapter is all I want to read this morning. Paul writing says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let me read it again. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's all I'm reading. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. Some number of weeks ago, friends, I was speaking in a meeting some distance from here. And we were talking about the topic of when will the Lord Jesus actually return. That ought to be of interest to all the people of God, especially today. Surely, all we can see going on around us indicates clearly that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But at the end of the meeting, the brother who was chairing the gathering, he gave out a very well-known and a very, very familiar hymn. The hymn was, "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, and the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." A great expression of the blessed hope of the church. But as we sang that hymn together, friends, it's strange how this happens from time to time, and yet maybe not so strange, that something from the hymn will leap upon you, or even from the scriptures will do exactly the same. And as we sung, the word hit me, and that was the word time. And I want to talk a little to you this morning about the issue of time. For there will come a day for you and I who know the Lord when time will be no more. I remember conducting a mission in the village where I was brought up many, many years ago now. In that village, we had a man called John who lived there. That's all I'm going to tell you about him. He's now with the Lord. John was a remarkable character in that he would come to you. He would say something, ask a question, and walk off. He'd never give you an opportunity to answer. I was driving down the street one day in the car during this mission, and John came out of the local shop. And when he saw me coming, he put his hand up and he stopped the car. And I wound down the window and I said, "John, what's bothering you today?" And he looked at me and he said this, "Harvey, why time?" And away he went. Never gave me a chance to answer the question. But I must tell you this morning, friends, that I never forgot that. Never did. And it sent me home to think, why time? I'm not going into it this morning, but I came to the conclusion that when I look around at the vastness of the universe in which you and I are living, I can see the majesty of God. I can see the might of God. I can see the power of God. All of those things are visible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the world in which you are living today and in which I am living, where we know about time, provided God with a platform upon which to manifest his love. For when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, and so on. But in the verse that I have read to you this morning, friends, you first of all have a fact brought before you if you take the verse back to front. And Paul is saying, the days are evil. And I couldn't help wondering when I read that and meditated on it, thought about it, chewed it over for a time, what he would say if he were living today. You and I are living in a dark, dismal, wicked, evil world. And of course, all these things are predetermined in our great Bible. And we are told, when you see all these things begin to come to pass. Now, the beginning of a thing is not the end of it. Common sense would tell you that. But when you see them begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And of course, all that's happening, I'm not outlining it in the meeting at all this morning, gives to you and I a great inspiration to look for that blessed hope when he who shall come, and will not tarry. However, that fact has an effect in the text. Because Paul says this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The fact of evil days are there, but its effect upon your life and mine is clearly and plainly seen. Let me quote it to you again. Redeeming the time. What does it mean? Well, you know as well as I do this morning, friends, that when we talk about redeeming or redemption, there's always involved the paying of a price. Peter reminds us in his epistle that we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold. We are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Someone in the early prayer meeting this morning made mention in a delightful way about the ability of the precious blood of the Savior. Its ability, thank God today, to cleanse us from all sin. But how does that fit into this verse? Well, it's telling us this, that as we see the coming of the Lord drawing nigh, and as we are living in this dark day, which I believe to be the last of the last days, we need to be buying up every opportunity that comes our way in order to bear witness for the Savior. Now, I just wonder, as I look over this congregation of people today, are we redeeming the time? My brother, my sister in Christ today, are you, am I, buying up every opportunity that comes our way in this day and generation to serve the Lord and to let men and women know about the great Savior that we have found in Christ? Someone said to me recently that in the area where they live, and that will remain nameless with me today, the gospel, especially from the pulpit, has become a well-kept secret. You know, when I heard that, it saddened my heart greatly. Yet, I'm meeting people today as we go around in evangelistic work, and they have no idea at all what the gospel is about. And yet, there are people living within a stone's throw of where they are who have embraced the gospel, who know the Savior, but are doing literally nothing to win their friends and their neighbors for the Lord. I ask you today, are you redeeming the time? Now, I took a look at one or two of the authorities, if you like, on this particular issue to see what they had to say about time. I'll maybe never be invited back to the pulpit again when I quote this man to you. He's got a very wonderful name. His name is Alexander Pope. So from now on in Lurkin, you cannot say no Pope here, because here he is. I'm going to read to you what he said about the issue of time. Take care of the minutes, and the hours will take care of themselves. Now that sounds very familiar from another setting. They used to tell me in school to look after the pennies, and the pounds would take care of themselves. But he's put it round another way. Take care of the minutes. Buy up every minute you have. Everyone that comes your way to serve the Lord, do it with great zeal. And of course, if you do, the minutes will turn into hours, and the hours will take care of themselves. One other servant of the Lord I looked up was a man called Roy Laren. And he said this, time is passing. And how rapidly it passes. Soon, he said, you will be passing out of time. Now, my friends, whenever that day comes, and whenever that day dawns, you will have moved from time to eternity. Time is a pathway to eternity, and the opportunity of serving the Lord will be gone forever. It will never come back to your doorstep again. Never mind today what other people are doing. Never mind what other people are thinking. Examine your own heart and your own life today. And make sure before God that you're buying up every opportunity that comes your way to bear witness for him. I've often told about the man that I met some years ago who became a very, very close friend of mine. He was working for the Lord out in Mexico City. I was over there and I met him. And how I met him was very interesting. I'd gone into a little cafe place to buy something to eat, and I couldn't read a word of what was up on this billboard. It was all Spanish, and I knew nothing about Spanish. The only word I learned when I was there was the word té. That means tea. So that was handy enough to remember. And I spoke out, and I said, anybody in here know English? And this man spoke up with a very strong Scottish accent. He said, I can help you. I said, come on, tell me what all this is about. And he ordered something for me to eat that particular day. And that started off our friendship. Now, I'm not going into all the details of it, friends, today, but I want to tell you something he told me. I said to him, tell me, my friend, how do you come to be out here in Mexico at the moment, at your age, working among the street children? Well, I don't know whether you've ever been there or seen that or not, but I've never seen anything like it before or since. And he looked at me and he said this. He said, brother, let me tell you, I never thought about serving the Lord until I reached pension age. And he said, when I did, the Lord made it clear to me that I should have been engaged in his service years ago. But he said, I had missed my opportunity. I had let the chance go by. But he said, now that I had time at my disposal, it all began to roll back. And he said, I came here where I should have been years ago, and I'm giving the rest of my life to serve the Lord. He was there until he was well over 80 years of age, trying to do something for those poor little boys and girls. Don't be like that today, friend. I see around me in this congregation this morning so many young people. God bless you. I do hate to hear people giving off about young people today. That annoys me no end. Because young people are facing things in this world today that I never seen or heard of. And I think we need to remember that. And it's not criticism they need, it's help they need. And they don't need to be maligned for the things that we disapprove of. They need to be prayed for and they need to be encouraged. But let me say this to you today. Maybe you're in the world of education today and you're thinking about the future, and God bless you in it. And I trust that folks will be praying, that the Lord will guide you. But in the midst of it all, did you ever think about serving the Lord? Don't put that on the back burner, whatever you do. Because it may be that in the middle of all you're doing today, the Lord could take that and the Lord could mold it marvelously and could take you up and thrust you out and send you forward into the service of the very best of masters. And I want to tell you today, there's no service like it, and there's no master like him. You might say, do you know from experience? Of course I do. I'll soon be 60 years at this, and that's quite a while. And I want to tell you, as I look back, friends, I'm so glad at 17 years of age, I stepped out in this life to serve the Lord. I've never regretted that. I'm not saying that to boast me. I'm simply telling you what I did with the Lord's guidance and blessing and help. Young people today, redeem the time. Buy up the opportunity. God bless you in everything you're doing and guide you and lead you. But don't put the Lord's service at the back door. Make sure you keep that at the forefront of your mind. So there you have a little about time. Now, that made me think. And I took up the pen and I wrote down a few things about time that I want to share with you just now in the meeting, because they came as a great impact to me and even now had a strong influence on my own personal life. Listen, some kill time until time kills them. Can I repeat that? Some kill time until time kills them. They walk along at times very irresponsibly, doing nothing whatever for the Lord, letting time pass by, and there comes a moment when they run out of time. Maybe I'm talking to someone in this meeting this morning. I don't know. You can never guarantee a congregation of people. But maybe I'm talking to someone who's not saved. Maybe someone who doesn't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. You've never been born again. Many of the things we're talking about are completely strange to you. You've never repented of your sin and come to Christ. Well, my friend, you're going to run out of time someday, and you're going to face eternity, and you're going to find yourself in an awful place called hell. Now be careful that you don't run out of time. Remember, now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. There'll be a backslider here. Someone who once walked with the Lord. Today you've grown cold in heart. Things are not the way they used to be. Maybe someone somewhere done something to offend or annoy you. It's taken you away from the Lord. What a tragedy that is, my friend. But let me tell you, if you just return to him, even where you are in this meeting today, he'll restore unto you the years the locust and the cankerworm have eaten. My friend, don't run out of time and meet the Lord in a situation like that where you'll be ashamed before him. Wouldn't want that to happen to anyone under the sound of my voice at this minute. I must go on for the sake of time. Some kill time until time kills them. Some waste time, heedless of how quickly the days are passing by. Very often in the gospel, when we preach that mighty message to people, I try to emphasize to folks the brevity of life. But even to believers today, we need to think about this. Because looking round the congregation this morning, friends, I think this could be applicable. We're allowed 70 years and 10. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I know rightly, by looking at some of you, you're there a long time ago. I heard recently about Nicholson. I hear all sorts of things about this man. I never met him. I never heard him. But maybe you did. But anyway, one night he called on someone to pray in a meeting. And the man prayed, and whenever the praying was done, he was standing in the pulpit killing himself laughing, which was typical of the man, apparently. And whenever they inquired as to what on earth was wrong, he said he had opened his eyes while the man was praying and looked at the congregation. He said he thought he was looking into a field of snared turnips. Boys sitting with not a hair between them and heaven. Isn't that it? Well, looking around me today, it's either none or white. That's what I can see. 70 years and 10, work it out. 840 months. You ever thought of that? How quickly they go by. It could be 80. But if it is, it becomes a problem. 960 months. And how rapidly they go in. Some waste time, heedless of how quickly time is passing. When I was young, time stood still. As I grew old, time walked. Now I am old, time flies. That's how it is. Don't waste time, friends. It'll soon pass by. Some pass time in trivial and unprofitable pursuits, even as believers. A young girl came to me some days ago. She's a university student. No one in here knows her at all. And she said to me, "Can I ask you something?" This is what I was saying about earlier, why our young people today don't need criticism, they need prayer. She said, "I'm in a sort of accommodation with," I think she said, "five other girls." She said, "I'm the only Christian." And she said, they want me to go places and do things. She said, I'm not happy about it. She said, "How far can I go with this?" And this is where you hit difficulty today, because you don't want to take a hard line on this at all. But I said to her, I know her, have known her for years. I said, "Listen, these places that they're inviting you to go, can you take the Lord Jesus with you? Or do you need to leave him at the door and pick him up on the way back out?" She looked at me. She said, "I think it would be the second one. I'd need to leave him at the door and pick him up on the way back out." Well, I said, "That's your answer, dear. That's your answer. That's the way you need to look at things." Thank God she has. And she's doing very well. She rings me from time to time. It's lovely just to talk to the Lord about her down the phone and to try and encourage her whatever way we can. I'm moving quickly, friends. My time's gone. Some pass time in trivial and unprofitable pursuits. Some spend time as they would money. Some carefully, some carelessly. Isn't that so? You know, there's some people and every penny's a prisoner. There's some others and every penny they have burns a hole in their pocket till they get rid of it. Sometimes we do that with time. Just leaving that with you. Some spend time as they would money. Some carefully. Others carelessly. Final thing is this. Some take time by the hand, seizing every opportunity coming their way to serve the Lord. Put out your hand this morning, brother, sister. Grasp hold on whatever time you've left. Lay hold of it. Lay hold of it even now. Take time
to be holy. Consecrate it all to the Lord. Give your life to Him. And I can assure you, you will never, ever regret that. Dear lady that I knew very well was in a prayer meeting last Tuesday night. And on Wednesday, I got a phone call from her brother to let me know that she had gone home, gone to bed, never woke again. 46 years of age. Who knows when it will be time up? I'm going to leave that with you this morning in the meeting. Someday, time will be no more. At the end of it all, may we hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." The Lord bless you and thank you so much for your attention today. Now we have a closing hymn coming up, I think, on this screen. And I don't know what it is until it appears. So, yes, fade, fade, each earthly joy, Jesus is mine. That's very appropriate, isn't it? Break every tender tie, Jesus is mine. Now, I'm going down to the door, and I'm not allowed to shake your hand, you see, so they'll need to put handcuffs on me or something, for I'll probably forget. Let's just have a wee prayer now. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us in this house today. We thank Thee for the illumination we can receive from Thine infallible Word. Take what has been of Thyself, bury it in our hearts today. Anything that has been of man, may it be both forgiven and forgotten. Bless those leaving us now. Bring them home in safety. Later, Lord, may we all experience journeying mercies and busy and dangerous roads coming and going from the house.